Good morning and welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. We are here with our virtual service this morning. We wish that everyone could be here and we could all be worshiping together. But such as the times we find ourselves in, the church, of course, has made the decision that we would not meet through the remainder of December, but that we would take a look at it after, or I should say in the 1st of January, to see whether or not we would have in-person meetings again. When I share our list of people and concerns in just a few minutes, then you perhaps will realize that if you didn't already, and of course you do, that these are very difficult times. But our pastor is sick, and so I'm filling in this morning for him with a message. But Chad will be leading us here in a few minutes with the children's sermon and the lighting of the Advent candle. And I also want to call attention this morning to those who are the unsung heroes, and that is our interpreters who are interpreting. And also, I want to call attention to the guys up here that are making this broadcast possible. So I thank you for Nick, and thank you for Bruce, and thank you for their being here this morning. And I know Trey has helped out some in the past, but with his family sick, they didn't want to take that chance. And so we appreciate them and what they're doing. And I appreciate the fact that you have joined us this morning by way of the virtual service on Facebook and on YouTube. This morning, before we enter our time of prayer, I do want to share with you the names of those that I have, and I realize this may not be complete, but we do want to remember this morning the Hubbard family, and talked with Artie last night, and Artie's feeling pretty rough right now. And also, of course, Ginger, as we all know, and Timothy have tested positive. And so we do want to remember them. We also want to remember Dale Schiff. She is in the hospital in Shelby, and she and her mother, she is, of course, they have COVID, and she's a very sick lady, both of these, I understand. Also, some of you may or may not know, but Stan and Wanda Webb have been diagnosed as being positive with COVID as well. Donna Stowe this week had knee surgery. Donna is doing better, but it's going to be a difficult road for her. And we ask that you pray for Donna and for Rick. We also want to remember Brenda Dellinger this morning in our prayers. Just learned this morning that Margie Smith was taken to the hospital last night or yesterday evening with weakness and shortness of breath. And so we have several people from our church family, but the reality is I think all of us either have someone in our family or someone or a close friend that we are aware of that does have this virus. And so we urge a word of caution to everybody, and do want to encourage people to wear your mask, keep your distance, and wash your hands frequently. You've heard that a lot recently, and I think it's fitting that we share that in concern for our church members as well. It's going to be a different Christmas week, because this week we will not be having our Christmas Eve service. And so unless something changes there, then that would not be occurring as well. It certainly wouldn't be in person, and whether or not Artie would be up to doing something virtual, we'll leave that up to him. But he tried to do something this past Wednesday night, and it really threw him backwards. So we're just urging a word of caution on that. So with these in mind, One other group that I would like to add, and that is our medical personnel, the people that minister to us when we are sick. Let's remember them. Let's remember our country during this time. Folks, we have a lot to be in prayer for. And so I encourage you to go with me now to the throne of God's grace. May we pray. Our Lord and our God, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we realize and have been reminded that we're a bundle of needs from the cradle to the grave. And Lord, there are so many needs that exist within our church family, within our world. But Lord, our greatest need is for you. And Lord, as we have been reminded of how our lives are so fragile, the times in which we live are fragile, Lord, we pray that during this time, instead of distancing ourselves from you, that, oh God, we will use this as a demonstration of our need for you. And Lord, as we come this morning, we need you, and we need you, and many people need you perhaps this morning as never before. Lord, I pray for these in our church family that we have just mentioned. Lord, you heard their names when I mentioned them, but you were already aware of those needs. And so, dear God, I pray for each one of them individually. I pray for their family. But, Lord, I pray that you will work in such a way that you will be brought glory and honor. I pray that they will find comfort in their assurance of being your child. I pray, dear God, that their families will find comfort in knowing that you promised us you would never leave us nor forsake us. So, dear God, I pray as sincerely as I know how for these needs that exist. But I pray for every family in our church. I pray, dear God, that as these times occur in which we're not meeting here together, that, Lord, it will make us appreciate even more the times that we can gather together as a church family, and that we can gather together here for the purpose of giving you the honor and the praise and the worship you deserve. Lord God, we just ask that you would be with our country. Lord, we pray that you'd be with our world. There are many in our world who are experiencing sickness, and they don't have the medical facilities that we have here in this country. And Lord, we are reminded that every single person is special to you. And so, Lord, while we tend to think of our needs, there are needs everywhere. But Lord, I pray now that as we enter into this time of worship, that you will reveal to each of us something that you would have us to grasp, to hold on to as we celebrate once again the birth of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time together. Bless our time together, for it is in the most precious name and the greatest gift of all that it was ever given, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm glad to see everyone. I wish I could see everybody. I'm glad to be here in the house of the Lord today. But I want you to pull your kids in close this morning. And my message for the kids this morning is short and sweet. But before I read this scripture, I want you to know that things may be different, and things are going to be different this Christmas than they've ever been before. Things are going to feel different. Things are going to look different. And we may not like that. But just remember, guys, that God is in control. And no matter how different Christmas looks for us, Christmas is still the same as it was always. And I want to share a Bible verse from the Christmas story, Luke 2, chapter 11. And no matter, like I said, no matter how different Christmas is, this stands forever. That says, Luke 2, chapter 11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Things were odd for Mary and Joseph that year too. They had to travel at a time they weren't used to. Mary was coming close to time to have her baby, and it was just inconvenient for them. And there were forces that tried to stop the Christmas story from taking place, but God didn't let that happen. So no matter how different Christmas looks, know that God is in control. And this is still about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just remember that, kids and youth, if you're watching. And be on the lookout for me this week. I may have a porch delivery for you, but I'll obviously text or call you or your parents before I come. So, but be on the lookout for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this day, for the people who are part of this service this morning, for the people who are tuned in to watch. Lord, help us to remember that no matter how odd or strange things seem to us, that you are in control, and that Christmas comes just the same as it always did, as we celebrate the birth of the Savior that you sent us. We love you and we praise you, God. All this we ask in your name. Amen. Just as you, as we look at these Advent candles, this week we lit the candle of love. And this is what Christmas is all about, that God loved us so much. The most common Bible verse that everyone should know, that everyone that's ever been to Sunday school has been drilled in their head, John 3:16 says that God loved us so much that He sent His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not die, but have everlasting life. And that's just an amazing promise that, like I just said, holds firm no matter what's going on in the world around us. I wish you guys a Merry Christmas. I wish I could see everybody. But I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Chad. This morning, I'd like to, first of all, I'd like to share with you just a word in regards to the deacons. As chairman of the deacons, I speak on behalf of the deacon family. And we do want you to know that during this time, if there is anything that we can do for you, we want you to know that we are available. We also want you to know that even though we may not be able to come to your house and visit you if you're sick, we do want to be able to pray for you. And we can't address needs if we don't know about them. And so, especially during this time when Artie is not able to be out, then we want you to know that we are available. And I know I speak on behalf of all of the deacons this morning. Well, this morning, I want to share with you something that has been coming to my mind. And I got to be honest with you, this is a little bit harder to do than maybe I first thought, because I'm so used when I speak to looking at people and looking into their eyes and seeing if I sense that they're with me, or if they're drifting away, or if they're just not paying me any attention, or if I need to make something clearer. And as I look out here at a vacant congregation except for Chad, then it's a little bit hard. But at any rate, I'll do the best I can this morning. But each year there's a central theme that comes to my mind. It's not always the same, but this year that holds true as well. And the fact that a central theme or thought has come to my mind, and it's the same thought that has come in many years gone by. And it's taken from Matthew, the first chapter, and we're going to read Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. But before we do that, I want to share a thought with you that maybe may make the context a little clearer. Perhaps you've often wondered, or maybe been a little bewildered, as you look at the relationships there in this passage. First of all, we see that Joseph is to be betrothed to Mary. Then we see that he's planning quietly to divorce her. And then thirdly, then she is called his wife. Well, if you understand the context here of what is taking place, at this time in history with the children of Israel, there were actually three stages to the marriage process. The first stage was the engagement stage. Now, this could be arranged by the parents even when the kids were children, or it could be arranged by a professional matchmaker. But oftentimes, the couple did not even see each other until the time in which they were to become betrothed. But as we look at how this took place, we also realize, I was reading something this week in preparation for this sermon, and I was reading where one of the authors was saying that marriage was looked at as being too serious a matter to be left to the dictates of the human heart. Now, that's different for us, and we don't understand that, but that's the context of these prearranged marriages in many instances. But the second stage was the betrothal. This could be called the ratification of the marriage. And during the betrothal stage, it lasted for 1 year. And it was during this time that actually the couple were actually known as husband and wife, but they didn't get to enjoy all the benefits, especially the physical benefits of being a husband and wife. But the only way to end the betrothal was through divorce. Now, we think marriage and divorce, but for them, during the betrothal stage, the only way to end that was through divorce. And then the third stage was the marriage proper, which took place at the end of the year of betrothal. I wanted to share that with you before we launch into the scripture this morning that makes references to what I have just shared with you this morning. But let's begin now with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The thought that has kept coming to my mind this Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. You see, Emmanuel describes who Jesus is. The word Emmanuel here that Matthew goes to the length of defining what Emmanuel means, because the New Testament, of course, is written in Greek, and the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, and so Matthew gives us the definition of Emmanuel, and that is God with us. If there is ever a time we need to hear a word to remind us that God is with us, it could be today. This is one of those times in history, one of those times in our lives that there is much fear, there's so much anguish, there's a lot of anxiety, and we need to be reminded that God is indeed with us. So this, I believe, is the message that we need to hear this morning at Christmas. We need to be reminded of that fact. We need to be reminded of that fact not only in the days leading up to Christmas, but the days after Christmas as this year comes to an end. And we need to be reminded of that fact as we will soon approach 2021, a new year. But I want us this morning to see the relevance of the fact that God is with us. I want us to see it from three different perspectives: the perspective of the past, the perspective of the present, and the perspective from the future. So first of all, let's look at Emmanuel, God with us, in the past sense. You see, Christmas is a reminder, actually, of how quickly time passes. Now, if you're a child, you may not think it's going to pass very quickly, and you throughout the year, you're wondering if Christmas will ever get here. But those of us who are older realize that it seems like we just put up the Christmas decorations, and just in a matter of weeks, we're pulling them back out again, because time is passing so quickly. So we have been reminded each Christmas and this Christmas that some 2,000 years ago, our Savior came to walk here among us. Throughout the centuries, from the beginning of time, man has wondered about God. What is God like? Matter of fact, this past week in one of my prayer times, I stated the obvious to God. The obvious being that, God, you're just too grand. You're just too big. You're just beyond my imagination to even comprehend. But throughout time, God has desired this special relationship with his creation. Think back, if you will, Think back to about to the beginnings. Think about when God created Adam and Eve. Think about how they were walking in the garden and conversing with God until they chose to rebel against God and erected this barrier that separated them. But God still loved his creation. We see this evidenced in the fact that when God spoke to Abraham and told him that he would bless him and chose to reveal himself through the children of Israel, we think also about how through the prophets, God foretold through the prophets, as was quoted this morning from Isaiah, that a Messiah would come. And yes, in the fullness of time, Jesus did come. But we think about how Jesus came, and we realize that he didn't check into the Waldorf Astoria. He was not born of parents of nobility. The announcement of Jesus' birth was made to shepherds, not to the elite of the world. Born to humble parents in a humble stable. God showed by the coming of Jesus, being born in the world, the manifestation of God. He came to show us who he is and how much he loves us. That's the message of Christmas. It's not all about the presents. It's about the present. The present of Jesus Christ. And yes, we also are reminded. We are reminded of the fact that the same Bible that foretold Jesus is coming, the same Bible that tells us that Jesus did come and gives us the facts of history where we can celebrate Christmas. With all of that, the same Bible also says that Jesus is coming again. God is with us, has been with us, is with us, and will forever be with us with his children. So, do you ever wonder what God is like? I think we all have at times. But thanks be to God, he loved us enough to reveal himself to us. And the fact that he came to be with us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, our God is a God of grace. He is a God of love. He is a God of compassion. And yes, he is a God of righteousness. He is the perfect judge. But he came to show his love. He came to show us how much we meant to him. He came to show us that he wanted a relationship with us and that he would go to any length so that we too could always have that relationship. That we too, when we hear of the prophecies of the end of time, that we, if we have made the right choice and accepted him both as our Savior and as our Lord, then he is the God that will forever be with us. So the fact that Jesus did come, that he did not remain at a distance as some future hoped-for event, says to us that he does want to be with us. I take great comfort in past history. And I think it is a mistake when we sometimes try to rewrite history. There are many in the world today who are non-Christians or those who are so occupied with the world and that they have no room for Jesus. And they don't want to accept Jesus or the reality of Jesus, because if they do, it means their way of life must change. And so they try to deny the existence of Jesus. But I take great... The word escapes me. But I take great comfort in knowing about history. Because if we don't know about history, we can't have a true picture of the present. And if we don't know about history, we are doomed to repeat the mistakes of history. But as I look back over my personal history, as I look back over the history of some of those of you who are listening to this message this morning, as I look back over the past history of this church, I have seen God with us many times. Now, I've not always understood the workings and the presence of God in my life, nor in the lives of some of you in my church family and others. But as I look back over the past, I have been reminded again and again that God is with us. His presence is realized in many ways. In times of joy and in times of excitement. In times when great peace is exhibited in our lives. But yet also in those times when life is difficult. When there is pain, when there is agony, when there is strife, when there is grief. We have been reminded of the fact that God is with us. How many times have we looked back over our life and realized that it was God that was carrying us through those times and we didn't even realize it? There have been times when you've doubted that truth. You've wondered and you dare not say aloud or ask the question, where is God? But haven't you many times looked back into your life and at the same time realize that God is with you? I think back about some of the prayers that I've prayed in my life. And I'm so thankful that God didn't answer them. I'm thankful for the ones that He did answer. But so many times I've prayed erroneously. So many times I have prayed wanting that which David wants, when in reality what we should be praying for in every circumstance is, what is it that God wants? The significant truth that we should carry from the past into the present is to remember the faithfulness of God in the past. And when you find yourself feeling as if you can't go on, when you find yourself overcome with doubt, when you find yourself overcome with grief, out of your desperation, I implore you, surrender to God. Week before last, I sat in the home of a 80-something-year-old pastor, one of the most devout men of God I know. And I sat and I listened to him pour out his concern. He shared with me the fact that he said, David, he said, I'm so afraid I'm going to have something I've got to be held accountable for before God. He said, how many times have we as pastors listened to people who said they want to accept Jesus as their Savior? And we have gladly welcomed them. We have extended the grace of God. But he said, David, I'm afraid we have accepted many people who never surrendered. If you're listening today and you feel no need of coming to church, to coming here to worship God, if you feel no need to take out your Bible and want to learn more about God, or if you know there are things for any of us Those of us who maybe come every Sunday and there are things in our lives that we have not surrendered to God, then, my friends, there can be no repentance if we do not completely surrender ourselves to God. And without true repentance, there is no remission of sin, and sinners do not enter the gates of heaven unless they have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who saves us, who came to save us an act of grace. But He is God and we are not. A holy God accepts sinners who have surrendered to a holy God. Yes, we should let this truth penetrate our beings. And we should also, if we have come to know Him as our Savior, let the ray of hope penetrate us in the present. But you may be reminded this morning, as you think about how God has been with you in the past, and how perhaps you have not been with Him in the past. You've said the right things, but maybe you know down deep you've been holding back on God. And as a result, you may be consumed with guilt this morning. Then what a gift that God wants to bring you this Christmas is the gift of the knowledge of His grace and His love for you. The fact that He gave up the glory of heaven to come and walk among us, to live, to die for us. He wants you to be at peace. He doesn't want you to live with the guilt any longer, for He accepts us as we are. Yes, Emmanuel, God with us in the past, and Emmanuel, God with us in the present. And since it's in the present in which we must live, and since we can't do an awful lot about the past except confess the sins of the past, trust them to the grace of God, do what we can to make things right with those we love and those perhaps we've offended, aside from those things, we must trust that to the grace of God. And we live in the present, because God is a God of grace who wants to forgive us of our past failures. He wants us to seek Him through repentance and be free to experience His all-encompassing love in the present and the unhindered past failures. 1 John 1:9 and 10 tells us that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Perhaps this Christmas, the gift that you need to give Jesus is the confession of your sins. Life is difficult, and sometimes it's like living on the razor's edge. There was a veteran of World War I who had endured the agonies of war and all the many questions that come with that, and through what he experienced, he found himself searching for answers in life. He broke off his engagement with the one he loved, especially at one time, who lived in the States. He traveled to Paris searching for answers. He traveled to Mongolia searching for answers. And he traveled up into the Himalayas and to a monastery. And there, after getting to the monastery, he expounded upon his plight and what he was searching for. And a wise old monk sent him up further up into the Himalayas, up on the top of a mountain. There he sat for days in a lean-to, protected from all the elements that were outside. There he read, he studied, he thought, he meditated, and there for days this went on. And then he finally comes down from the mountain and he goes back to the monastery and he tells the monk that he is still experiencing questions. While it was helpful, but he still had questions. And as the wise monk bade him farewell, he said this to him. He says, "It's easy to be a holy man on the mountaintop, but salvation is found in the straight and narrow, as if living on the razor's edge." Now, I was supposed to share that this morning. That was presented to me last night because I was astounded. While I was in the studying for this sermon, I came out and my wife is looking at a documentary. And the term, living on the razor's edge, was shared when I sat down. Some of you find yourselves living there today, in the present. That's how we often feel. Yes, life has its joy, it has its happiness, but much of life is lived through trial and tribulation. So we need to be reminded that God is with us in the present. Henry Horne tells of a card that he received from two sisters who were in their 80s. They were the only ones left of the family. They lived on the family farm in which they grew up. And because of age and not being able to do what they once did, the farm had fallen into disrepair and neglect. Not that they wanted to, but they just physically were not able to. But they sent him this card, and they scribbled on the card, "God still comes to us in the middle of our mess." You see, God wants to come to us in the middle of the messes that we make of our lives. God wants to come in. And be our God. So never forget the message of God in the midst of the messes that we find ourselves in. Has a friend ever called you and said, Hey, we want to come over? And you say, Oh, yeah, that'd be great. But give us a few minutes. We need to pick up the place, or we need to straighten up the place. How many times do we think we've got to get everything all straightened up before we approach our God? But it's in the middle of the mess that He wants us to approach Him. It is in the middle of the mess of our lives that God wants to speak to us. It's in the middle of those messes where we need to surrender. And oftentimes, it is in the middle of the mess of our lives that God has the clearest messages for us. So whatever circumstances you find yourself in today, whether you've lost your job during these perilous times, whether you're wondering whether or not if you're going to be able to pay the bills, whether you're wondering whether or not your family is going to be hit with this virus, whether you're wondering whether or not you might get it or one of your children or your parents might get it and their life may be taken upon this earth. Whatever circumstance you're in this morning, if you're worried about the future and what it holds, God is with us in the presence. And it's often in the present that the greatest victories are realized. So it's easy to become so focused on our problems that we fail to see God's presence in our present everyday lives. But what about the future? God is Emmanuel. God is present. Past tense, present tense, and future tense. How do I know that? The same way some of you know that. The same way, because this wonderful book, the Bible, the gift of God's word to us, proclaims it. The revelation of God within us, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, His Spirit that dwells within us reveals to us the presence of God. Yes. Life is hard, and our experiences in life, be they past, present, or future, can embitter us or it can make us hopeful. Dr. R.G. Lee, a great preacher of years gone by, tells the story of a woman who lived in Boston with her family. And they experience tragic consequences. They lived in a picturesque house, three-story house, surrounded by an iron picket fence with spirals, spears on this fence, surrounding them. Beautiful setting. But in that setting one day, as the maid was cleaning on the third floor, she opened the windows to let the air in, to freshen up the house, as we often do. And as she opened that window and left it there and went on about her duties, this lady's little son climbed into that window, seated there on the sill, playing with his toy. And the little boy dropped the toy. And as he dropped the toy, he reached for it. And as he reached for that toy, he fell out of that window onto the roof down below, and he rolled down that window. And the woman hears the crying, the yell for help. And as she runs to get her little boy, she glances out that window, and below she sees her child impaled on that iron fence, his life blood falling to the ground. And she screams in anguish. And she tells this dear preacher of years gone by, she says to him in her bitterness, "What does God know about that?" And wise Dr. Lee, "My lady," he says, "God is the only one who knows about that. And He knows full well what you are experiencing, because God saw His Son hanging on a cross, nails through His hands, nails through His feet, His side pierced open where a spear had penetrated it, with a crown of thorns on His head, blood flowing down from His body as He lies there gasping for His last breath. My lady, God knows, and He is the only one who knows. As Chad said last week, you can't experience Christmas without also realizing the gift of what Easter means. Yes, God is with us. He wants to remind us of that fact this morning. But I say to you this morning, my question for you is, are you with Him? You don't have to worry about what other people think within this congregation this morning. But this question, if you're hearing it, it's directed at you. Are you with Him this Christmas? We may not have an altar here this morning or in your home that you can come down to. But where you are and before this day is out, ask yourself the question, am I totally with God? That's the question of the day. God is with us. The question I ask you, are you with Him? You see, if the answer is no, the future's bleak for you. That's the other reality of God. He's loving, yes. He's gracious, yes. But He is also righteous. He will be our eternal judge. What can I give Him? I can give Him my heart. May you have a blessed Christmas. And this Christmas, you're not hampered a whole lot by the demands and the time constraints that are placed upon you. Don't let this Christmas pass without getting alone with our God who gave His very best and say, now God, what can I give you? Pray with me, please. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. It is in You that we place our confidence. It is You that we invest our praise. It is in You, O God, that we place our hope with the assurance that as Your child, You are forever and ever with us. May each of Your children be blessed, comforted, and receive the gift of peace in this Christmas season. Amen.